Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 8th episode of the Home Videodrome Podcast, Blu-ray and DVD releases for the week of November 1st, 2011. I'm your host, Hunter Dusing, and with me is the lovely and talented Mr. Jim Dirks.
Thank you very much. I'm multifaceted and complex.
Yes, you are.
It's true. It is true.
I don't have you on here just because of your lovely tits.
Yes, well, that's part. It's not hurting my cause.
No, it gets your foot in the door, Jim.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. How was AFF?
Oh, it was fantastic. I saw some really outstanding movies, a couple that were sort of just there.
Yeah.
But the stuff that was great was really great. And, I've been sort of slowly meeting out my reviews from it instead of doing them all at once. I figure this way I'll get, you know, a little more mileage out of it and probably be able to focus a little more on what I'm doing. So
yeah, I read your review of American Teacher.
Yes,
was very interesting for those of you out there. And this will be a particular interest to any listeners from Big Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Jim Dirks is a school teacher.
Yes.
By day.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Superhero by night. But teacher by day. Mild mannered.
Yes.
Of course.
And mild mannered educator, yes.
And Jim has some very interesting opinions on education, precisely because he is an educator himself.
Right.
And whenever there's a movie out about teachers and teaching, etc., he always has volumes of things to say about
it.
So but I enjoyed that review in particular.
Well, it's one of those weird things where it's like nothing, like I feel as though all the shit that gets covered with teachers is very much, well, yeah, we've heard this before.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, you know, a friend of mine and I were commenting a little bit on it. It's like, you know, what I said in mine, I'd rather see, you know, make it about, why do I have to give the kids 5 different versions of the standardized test that don't really count every year, in addition to the standardized test they have to take, in addition to all this. Like, why don't we get into the bureaucracies and all the nonsense that makes teaching difficult from a systemic level?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I want to see, is show me the new teacher, but also let's look at, you know, that person who's been teaching it for 30 years and is kind of phoning it in because that's all they can do. You know, show me the places where teachers aren't allowed to design their own lessons because the district is so hell-bent on the testing that they supply lesson plans. I mean, that's the stuff that I think would be more interesting, is, you know, an exploration of that. I enjoyed the film. It was much better than Waiting for Superman, that hatchet-faced prick.
And for, you know, Waiting for Superman, you know, If you're listening from Big Hollywood, go read Jim's review of that movie.
Both parts of it.
Because Jim is by no means like a left-wing like union enforcer or anything like that. But
I'm a member of my union because I know that the district won't have my back if a parent gets unreasonable, and I like having something. I like having a group that will cover me. So,
but
that's kind of the main point of it for me.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like you're you know, a union head or something. I don't know.
I'm a member.
Yeah,
but,
exactly. But if you're, because it's in your best interest to be.
Exactly, exactly.
But but read Jim's review of Waiting for Superman. You can look it up at thefilmthugs.com.
And I linked it throughout my review for American Teacher.
Yeah,
so.
and Jim also wrote a piece also on what you believe the way to fix these problems is.
Yeah.
You offer a solution.
I offer a solution to the classroom side of it. So far as the other stuff where it comes to, you know, well, the economics of it is a different thing. And, you know, the statement I make at the beginning is both sides piss me off.
Yeah.
You know, it's the, oh, teachers are this or that. It's like, shut the fuck up. Do what I do for a week, and then we'll have a conversation. But on the other side, the people who are like, well, if we paid teachers what they were worth, then our kids would get a better education. Oh,
no.
So you think I'm not doing my job because I'm not getting paid
better.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Well, and it's like, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like teaching, the vocation of teaching is like, in our society, it's like being a soldier or a firefighter or a cop in that it's something that doesn't pay well, but we kind of put them on a pedestal and say we should pay them all this money because because society kind of feels bad that they get the yeah. short end of the stick usually.
Right.
So we stroke their egos and kind of as a way of compensating for it.
Uh-huh.
Is this fair to say, or?
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is, it's like, what I say in my statement on American Teacher is if you really think that what I do is important, and if you really think that my job, you know, as an English teacher for 5 years, if you think that's important, then you know you need to step up and show that. Yeah, let's pay it what we think it's worth. I mean, and it shouldn't be some, oh, you get this rep. It's like, oh, we think what you do is important, so we're going to pay you like we think what you do is important.
Okay.
That's my opinion on it. And it's like, yeah, I get that. It's such a weird thing because I think it's exactly like police, firemen, and soldiers. They're jobs that, you know, you're right, people look at and go, wow, this is so vitally important. Let's pay you as little as humanly possible to do this.
But we'll also be like, yes, you are so. We'll talk about you as though you're a hero.
Yes, in these hushed terms, mm-hmm. But yet people will sit there and you know, it's a weird vocation. That's all I can say about it. There's literally no other thing like it out there. No problem. Everything is. It's just bizarre. I mean, I can't compare it to anything else. But yeah, I mean, you read those things, you'll sort of see my thoughts on it, and. I have some fairly revolutionary ideas, but they work. Well,
and because you don't have like a magic bullet answer, like you know, your answer is never. It's not like, well, let's just throw more money at the teachers and that'll solve the problem, or you know, or let's smash the unions or something. You know, like I mean,
well, it's like to me that I think that stuff that would go part and parcel with it. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, at the end of the day, you've got a group of people that are working their ass off doing a very difficult job for very little money, and in the end, we don't feel, by and large, like it's that appreciated by folks.
Right. Right.
And that's the frustrating bit. Is it's like, oh yeah, all I'm doing is teaching your kid how to read. There's no real importance there. Not these days. Everything's read to them.
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the thing is you have to. I'm big on put your money where your mouth is. If what we do is worth that much. And the frustrating shit is like I know that if I went and I got certificates and shit like that, I could double what I make by getting out of the classroom.
Yeah.
I could double it, and so that's. Just a weird thing to kind of wrap your head around, mm-hmm. But you know that's how it is,
that's
man.
How it
that's
is,
how
yeah.
the shit goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but I actually did. I watched something else today that was interesting.
Oh yeah, what'd you see?
I watched Red State.
Oh, I watched that too.
Yeah, and
let's
I'm gonna review it in depth on. You know, I'm gonna write a review for it on the Thugs, but there were parts of it that I thought worked beautifully.
You know, I liked it more than I thought I would.
Same here, yeah, you know, same here.
I don't think it's a good movie, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
However, Kevin Smith has done what he did not do with his last two films. He went outside that comfort zone.
Yes.
He broke out of his shell, like his safety zone as a director.
Uh-huh.
He got more adventurous with the camera.
Yep.
You know, and... It's an interesting movie that I'm not, but however I think it was kind of a mess.
Oh, totally. Like, yeah, it's Clarkson and I talked about it because Clarkson watched it before I did, and we talked about it on the show that comes out today, where it's kind of like from what I gathered from what he said, and now I fully believe it. This feels as though it was one or two drafts away from being a really good script.
Yeah, I mean,
but as it is, he just. Kind of went with what he had, and here it is.
Like, and it's a really angry film. Like,
yes.
It has a totally it's Kevin Smith as you've never seen him. You know,
the tagline
says, it's a film that's totally unexpected from that Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
But it starts off. You know, you have your despicable teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are teenagers that are not in no way relatable or likable.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they are complete, like, slime. And then, but then, you know, they get put in a situation with worse people. And then it turns into, like, this weird, like, horror movie
It was a bunch of different movies.
And
that's
then it turns
the
into, and then it turns into, like, a John Carpenter siege movie.
Yeah,
you know?
And then it turns, like, here's the big problem, I'll tell you right now. This is a big issue that I had with it, is way too much of the very important plot development was done in really long monologue scenes.
Oh, my God. The first scene with John Goodman was terrible because it's just info dump. Like,
yeah,
I'm on the phone,
dump,
and
yeah,
I'm
going to
tell
yeah.
my superior officer everything he already knows about these people.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, thanks. You know?
But there are a lot of scenes that are like that that I think could have been tightened up. That's like, the thing is, Smith doesn't have anyone there to rewrite or to really edit what he does.
No.
So he just, this is what it's going to be in there. And there's no one there who could say, hey, Kevin, maybe if we found a way to cut this scene down and do this and then... But, and the end, like, I agree with something Clarkson said. Coming up to the end, you're like, oh, my God, is he really going to go for this?
I know! I was...
Is this really going to happen?
I was like, I will love this movie. This movie may be awesome if it goes where I think it's going to go.
And then it just kind of...
And then it farts.
Now let's talk.
Yeah. Oh, here's what happened that we didn't show you.
Mm-hmm. Here's a bunch of shit that just went down. I mean, the thing is, the performances in it, freaking Michael Parks just kills.
Michael Parks is great in it.
Amazing,
I mean,
in it.
Awesome
Goodman
villain.
Goodman
looked very svelte, John Goodman.
Yeah, he really lost some weight. Yeah.
I heard he stopped drinking beer. That's what he said.
Right. Oh, nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing, it just felt off. You know, it wasn't bad.
Like,
it just wasn't particularly good.
You know, I kind of reluctantly applaud it for taking risks,
right,
like Kevin Smith did. You know, but it's such an angry movie. But I'm not quite sure who Kevin Smith is angry at. You know,
right.
Like, it starts off like with these kind of Westboro Baptist type people ritualistically murdering gays and stockpiling firearms because I don't know, and then like it turns into a Waco type scenario, and so and people are being indiscriminately murdered.
Yeah,
you know, like characters are just getting offed left and right, like it ain't no thing, you know.
Yeah,
and it was just like, oh, okay, so is Kevin's, so he's the, are we mad at the government? We're mad at Westboro Baptist, but I'm not quite sure. I know why we're mad with Westboro Baptist, because they're a bunch of pricks. But I'm not quite sure why. I'm not quite sure why it goes in this direction at the end.
It just seems like there was this very wide net that was cast that he didn't bother to focus at any point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the issue. That's what throws me about it. Is it's like, where is the, you know, what's this about?
Yeah, exactly.
Why am I here?
I don't quite know what the theme is.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's called Red State.
Which, like, that right there, that I think is a mistake.
Although, yeah, I agree, because I think it automatically gives it... It does it, but the thing is, the movie, it's... I can't even call it that political, you know?
No, it's
like,
not.
I mean,
that's what's weird. It puts politics front and center, and I'm sorry, that is a choice. It puts politics by choice front and center.
Yeah, but it's not a political movie in the slightest.
No, yeah.
It's just a really angry movie, but it feels like, it just feels like rage that hasn't been thought about. I will say, though, I liked how he pulled, like, several cast members from Breaking Bad.
Uh-huh.
He got Badger in there
as
one of the cops, and Skyler plays the mother of Kyle Gallner's character.
Yeah.
I think it was Kyle Gallner's character, yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, I was much more okay with it than I thought I'd be.
Yeah.
Because I think I was like you on it. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it.
Reading the premise, you know, I was like, this is going to be horrible. But I was willing to give it, I wanted to see it because if I'm going to have an opinion on something before I see it, well, goddamn it, I better put my money where my mouth is. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I don't want to say, oh, a movie sucks and not see it, because that's stupid.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
It's ragged around the edges, as many of Smith's films are, even his best movies. But right. it's one of the only I think it's the only film he's made where I'm more okay with the direction than I am the writing.
Yeah. You know? Oh, totally. Yeah.
Like, so that's what's weird about it. Normally Kevin Smith's directing is non-existent and it's all about his writing. Here I thought the writing was a mess, but the direction was like fucking really not great, but really good.
Much better than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Much better than I thought it would be.
So yeah,
I don't expect much from I don't expect much from his direction.
No, I never expect anything. but you know, I gotta say on Nowhere in Mulberry a week or so ago, they were talking about how I have an irrational hatred for Kevin Smith on their show. And I'll have a passionate hatred. And I was like, okay, just because I've trashed him on the internet a couple of times doesn't mean, like, I go up to strangers and go, excuse me, would you like to
hear... Have you heard about this, why I dislike this man?
Could I tell you for a moment about why I think Kevin Smith is a prick? You know?
Yeah, this one, though, I think he showed it's his most mature directing.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
It's not his most mature writing. I think it's.
No,
I think,
not at all.
You know,
not
that.
All.
Not that.
I just didn't feel much for it. You know.
No. You know, it's a movie. Like after seeing it, I kind of want to like it more than I do. You know.
Right. But, right. Like, yeah. That's a great way of putting
because
it.
Because one thing I said about before Red State was made, I said, you know, Kevin Smith made Jersey Girl, which angered his fan base, and he immediately retreated to safe ground.
Yeah.
And it's harmed his work. And we were kind of like, you know, don't stop going outside of those boundaries. But with this film, he really went outside of his boundaries. You know, and I don't like the way he was, you know, Kevin Smith, like they said this on Mulberry, he's become kind of a polarizing figure.
Yeah.
And I think that's true.
Oh, totally.
Kevin Smith
totally.
Used to be like universally loved, you know, by people who'd seen his movies. But since then, I think it's his kind of petulant attitude, like in the press, like with his the Southwest Airlines thing, which you know, if you're so embarrassed about it, why are you announcing it to the world?
Right?
Because you want to punish Southwest Airlines by having your cult fan base not fly with them. Okay,
right. Okay, fine.
But and then we get to, you know, the way he did Red State at Sundance, I thought was the epitome of unprofessional. But it wouldn't have bothered me so much him self-distributing his movie. Of course he can do that because he's Kevin Smith, but he was acting like, oh, he said like, oh, we're doing this. We're paving the way for filmmakers to cut out, the distributors. And I'm thinking that's insane because you're Kevin Smith.
Yeah, you know, you can charge $60.
Exactly. And
for people to come see a movie.
And people will buy it because you're Kevin Smith. But but Joe Blow out there who makes a movie, no one gives a shit. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But people are going to support you because you're Kevin Smith. That's why David Lynch can get away with it. That's why Brian De Palma can get away with it. But it's not revolutionizing anything.
No, no, it's not.
It just means you've reached that point in your career where you can do that.
It's a fairly self-important move, I think, in a lot of ways. And I like him. I like what he does. He's shown that he can do this. And it's like, come on, man.
I like it when a filmmaker reaches that point where they don't need Hollywood anymore.
Right.
That's what they don't need. He doesn't need Harvey Weinstein anymore. He doesn't need all that stuff. He can go out and raise $1 million and make a movie, which kind of I'm like, why are you retiring? You know, like after he makes this hockey movie.
And what gets me is that he says that he doesn't feel like he has any more stories to tell, which is bullshit because he keeps, I mean, he might just be, honestly, if he just came out, I would be down with him if he said, you know, I am just fucking frustrated with this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it anymore. I can't deal with the industry. I can't do it. I'd be like, well, good on you, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's some stones to come out and and admit, you know, and that, so I respect this, but
yeah, it's a movie. I was pleasantly surprised that I was never bored. You know, I was never, it didn't piss me off while I was watching it the way Zach and Miri did.
Right.
Like, Zack and Miri, like, was, you know, like, I was boiling while I was watching that movie.
Right.
And people will say, well, it's a comedy, lighten up. But it was such... That movie assumed I was the biggest prick in the world.
Well, he has even called himself out on that, where he's like, that was not the movie I wanted. I felt like it's what I had to do to kind of, you know, keep with the whole Judd Apatow stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt... And it's like, yeah, that's okay, yeah. But still, dude, that's...
It's you still did it.
Yeah, exactly. But, exactly.
I don't know, like, but anyways, so Red State, it was very interesting. I'd recommend at least watching it for sure.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
But it's certainly one of Smith's weaker films. However, I think it ambitious failure, let's put it that way.
That's
you know what?
The best way to put it.
I like an ambitious failure more than, say, a mediocre film that's successful in
right.
its aims, you know. So, yeah, it was good. I'm going to send this to the Mulberry people because they think I seriously like, you know, they think I'm this anti Kevin Smith jihadist who straps on a bomb and walks into like Jane Silent Bob's secret stash.
Like, I enjoy some of what Smith does, but I'm not one of those people that is the, you know, I'm not one of his acolytes.
No,
you know?
I mean, I'm a recovering acolyte, you know?
Yeah, everything he does is great. Like, no, I don't believe that.
You know, I'll always be grateful to Kevin Smith for Clerks, for Chasing Amy, for Dogma, for the really... good movies he made, and he'll always be a fixture in the landscape of American independent cinema. And what's pleasing about Red State is he's gone back to that indie roots.
Right.
I just wish it was a better movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, there we go. Yeah. Did you see anything else?
I saw a bunch of shit, but you'll check that out through from the festival.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw, like, you know, a shitload of movies lately.
Thefilmthugs.com.
Yes, I'm posting stuff there.
And one movie I saw real quick that blew me away.
Uh-huh.
Loved it, 5 stars. Saw it for the first time. Sweet Smell of Success.
You're dead, kid.
Yes.
Go and get buried.
Go and get
God,
buried.
God, that was awesome.
But
anyways,
I saw that on Blu-ray, and it just, I loved it. But
nice.
But anyways, so it's kind of a slim week.
Kind of
Blu-rays
a weird
and DVDs.
Week. Yeah. There's, I think that it's one of those things where it's like the gear up towards what's it called?
Christmas. Yeah.
So
we're gonna start seeing probably some good stuff here pretty soon.
Right.
But I kind of jumped the gun on this one last week.
Uh-huh.
But the first, the biggest release this week is probably Cars 2.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I enjoyed Cars 2 a lot more than most people did, which I didn't expect.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So.
Still, I didn't think you had. But, you know, I wasn't really a big fan of the first Cars movie, and they obviously skew younger than the rest of the Cars films. But this one, the story is, there is an energy tycoon car who comes up with an alternative fuel source, and he decides to hold these big races to show how great his new fuel is, and he's going to power the cars with it and do these races. And so Lightning McQueen participates, and there are 3 races around the world. There's one in Japan, one in France, and one in Italy.
Okay.
And in the meanwhile, there is a group of lemon cars, like Gremlins and Pintos and all that stuff. And they are trying to... And obviously, they're working for Big Oil or something.
Right.
You know,
some shit.
Something, you know. So, and they want to, they're going to sabotage these races and make this new fuel look like it causes cars to flame out. And there's some spies. One's played by Michael Keaton. And he's an Aston Martin DB9, which is a brilliant touch. And
nice,
and Lightning McQueen brings Tow Mater along, to these races. And Tomater unwittingly gets involved in this spy game. So it's kind of like The Stupids or something, where he's this blithering idiot who gets involved in the spy game, and everybody thinks he's this genius, like, operative, you know? It's a story you've heard before, but it's done the Pixar way. It's a lot of fun.
That's cool.
It's a globe-trotting spy movie with anthropomorphic cars. You know, the first one was Doc Hollywood with anthropomorphic cars. This one's a spy flick with anthropomorphic cars.
I think that Pixar is in such a weird position where had any other company put out Cars and Cars 2, it'd be like, that's really good.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's Pixar, they have set the bar so unrealistically high that anything short of perfection is viewed as a failure.
Yep. I mean, but Cars 2, it got, like, beaten up. Like, more like Cars 1, you know, it got kind of a lukewarm reception, but overall people liked it. This one got, like, a 33% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how much of that. Again, I think that that's just a real... You know, look at the last. I mean, you go Up. You got, you know, WALL-E, Up,
which I like Cars 2 more than WALL-E personally.
Yeah,
I like the. I think the first 30 minutes of WALL-E is the best thing Pixar has ever done. The rest of the movie, throw it away. I don't like.
See, but if you look at it, it's like they did such huge things, and then Cars 2.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's
their last movie.
Judged.
Toy Story 3 was
the biggest animated film ever.
99% on Rotten Tomatoes. You know, the only...
And the only reason is because fucking Armin White's a cocksucker.
Armin White.
I love that there's somebody out there who actually wrote here's why your review is incorrect. Not just that I disagree with it, but here are the points that you made in your review that are untrue, that are false.
No,
somebody who shuts it down. It's brilliant.
You know, I here's the thing about Armin White is I like how angry he makes people. I like that he stirs people up and he gets people in a frenzy. And I think it's funny that, like, one bad review of Toy Story 3, you know, sends people into a frenzy. However, his review of Toy Story 3 is retarded. You know, he says it's a movie that celebrates consumerism. Uh-huh. As though toys don't play a significant role in children's lives.
And what I love is how he talked about, you know, marketing and shit like that, and it's like, no, it's all classic there's a review online, I forgot who wrote it, but there's somebody, if you just look up Armin White Toy Story 3, like, response, somebody goes point by point and actually just dismantles his bad review of it. It's really good.
I mean, you know, I think one of the best movies about I think Armin White is right about one thing. One of the best movies about the relationship between toys and people is CJ7. Chow's film. I mean, that's a movie that really hits at the heart of it in a really big way.
But what gets me is this idea that people have that, well, because this one's good, then this one must be bad.
Exactly. No.
Bullshit.
It is bullshit. You know, I'm just saying, CJ7's great film. I like that. I like that he brings that up. But Toy Story 3 is still an excellent exploration of those themes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can have two good explorations of those themes.
It's one of those things where it's like, you know, I remember listening to Chris Rock once, and a friend of mine said, yeah, I don't like Chris Rock. I'm a Dave Chappelle fan. I'm like, dude, you're allowed to like more than one black stand-up comedian.
Oh, that's the whole, like, ethnic comedian thing. I can only like one Latino comedian. I can only like one black comedian.
Yeah.
I can only like one female comedian.
Oh, nay, don't go pushing it.
Yeah.
it's one of those things that gets me. Where it's, you know, you have this guy who sits there, and I mean, you review a movie. You don't review it as a comparison,
right,
to something else.
I think you can bring up other films to illustrate a point, I think.
Yeah.
And talk about it in the context of other movies.
However,
you know, the way Armin White does it, that's like his reviewing style is, and it drives me crazy, is that it's always, they did this, but you know, True Grit explores these themes, but Jonah Hex explored them so much more better. And I can't tell if he's serious or not when he says that.
He's one of those people who is, he's a contrarian in order to sound interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's it.
I haven't
He's
seen
a contrarian for contrarians.
I haven't seen Jonah Hex. I mean,
it looks like ass.
It does. And he was acting like it was like the second coming of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right.
And I was like,
so
really?
Frustrating.
I don't know. I think he's just got a hard on for Neville Dean and Taylor wrote the script. But
I mean, I think it's more he's trying to differentiate himself by saying stuff that other people won't necessarily agree with.
Yeah.
It's the absolute worst type of journalism to me. It's look at me, pay attention. Aren't I saying something ever so clever because it's not the same as what everyone else thinks?
I mean,
and it's fucking stupid.
Yeah. What he says is always
interesting,
but .. I frequently disagree with him, but he's always an interesting read, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Since we're on the topic of Toy Story, we also have the Toy Story
another release,
another Pixar. We have the Toy Story trilogy again.
Oh, but I think this one's different because it's in 3D.
Yes, so it's good this time.
No one could have possibly liked those movies in 2D. It's impossible to like those movies if it's not in 3D.
If Buzz Lightyear's not flying out at me, I don't care.
Yeah, if it's no, it's impossible to care.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
How can anyone like a movie in just two dimensions? I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's garbage. It's fucking garbage if it's in 2D.
Yeah.
Dare I said it. I'm jumping on Stu's bandwagon. It makes it better. 3D makes it so much better, and all you chumps who don't watch stuff in 3D can suck it, because it's really here to stay.
You know what you know what 3D is like the last ditch effort to save theatrical
It's always
exhibition.
The goddamn last ditch effort. It's not like it's the first time they've done it.
But
they did it in the 90s, they did it in the 80s, they did it in the 70s.
But
they did it all over the place.
It's saturated mainstream movies now though. It's not just like B movies, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is it's backfiring on them.
Oh, no, it is. Man,
is, but so great if you can finally enjoy these piece of shit Pixar movies now that they're in 3D. Finally something made them fucking tolerable.
Oh, yeah, just go buy the 2D trilogy if you haven't already.
Yeah, don't be fucking stupid.
The Toy Story movies really are great.
Yeah, they are great. Everything about them is fantastic.
You know, and if you disagree, your name is Armand White.
Yeah.
So.
You know, look at me. I'm clever. I don't like Toy Story.
Okay, so next movie I didn't see in the theater. Almost saw it, but didn't. Heard it's got a good Christoph Waltz performance. Water for Elephants.
I heard that, but it's just one that you know, there are those movies that look good, but you just can't summon an ounce of energy about wanting to see it.
You can't reach into the depths of your soul to give a shit.
Exactly.
That's the way I feel about this.
Yes, there it is. Like, I look at Water for Elephants, I'm like, yeah, probably be good. People tell me it's good. I just, whatever.
And here's the thing about is Francis Lawrence, the director, his movies have always been close but no donut cup. You know, like,
right.
Like Constantine. You know, there's some interesting stuff there, but bad movie. I Am Legend, really close. Almost got there. And then you fucked it up. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine. And you know, I see Christoph Waltz, and I'm like, maybe, but
That gets my attention, you know?
Yeah.
I like Christoph Waltz. I'll see him in damn near anything.
Yeah. But then you got Robert Pattinson too.
Except this.
Yeah. What about the Three Musketeers?
He's in that?
Yep.
Damn.
Yep.
That movie looks fucking stupid. I mean, I'm not even gonna attempt to sugarcoat it in my normal way. That movie looks fucking dumb.
You sugarcoat, Jim? No.
Yes, yes.
Every review I've heard says it tries to be Pirates of the Caribbean, and I'm like, and when I hear that, I go, no thanks.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. I'm okay. I don't need it.
Yeah.
Another movie I skipped in the theater. Crazy Stupid Love comes out this week.
Yeah, something about that just looked crazy.
I like Steve Carell's looking for love. I saw 40-year-old virgin. I'm good.
I think it looks interesting. You know, I'm not. I don't think it looks shitty. It looks interesting. He's got Ryan Gosling.
It looks like a good time waster. I just in the theater. Nah.
Yeah.
If I'm not reviewing it, I don't care. You know.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of the vibe I felt on that. It looks okay. I'll watch it without prejudice, but I'm not.
If it comes on instant, I'll check it out. But I like Ryan Gosling a lot, especially after Drive and Ides of March. Guy's throwing stones, you know.
Yeah, he really is. He really is.
He's throwing rocks tonight, dude.
Yep.
So yeah, there's that. We got a few older movies coming to Blu-ray this week. Scrooged coming for the Christmas season.
That's just one everyone needs to see.
Yeah.
It's fucking fantastic.
It's a good take.
Television for pets.
It's a good. It's a fun 80s comedy take on the, you know, on the old Christmas Carol classic.
Yeah, you know. It's really great.
Yeah, and
if you haven't seen it, I don't even know what to say.
You
haven't seen Scrooged?
Didn't Richard Donner direct it?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And you know, everybody loves Bill Murray.
Yeah, it's Bill Murray. Damn it,
God!
Why haven't you seen Scrooged?
And so also. We have a movie. This one was kind of close to me as a child. Now not so much. We have Steven Spielberg's Hook coming to Blu-ray.
I have not seen Hook in so long.
I saw part of it, I want to say, like a year or so ago.
Right.
And it's about what you remember. You know,
I didn't care for it too much when I first saw it.
When I was a kid, I loved all things Peter Pan, and I loved when I was a kid, I loved Robin Williams. Now I can't stand him.
Robin Williams is definitely like there's an age nowadays where you can dig Robin Williams, and we are not that age.
But I was the right age when this came out for this movie,
right?
And I really liked it. But it kind of has, Andy from the Hollywood Saloon put it really well. He said it kind of has an indoors feeling. Like,
right.
It doesn't have the kind of vastness that it should have. It kind of feels set-bound at times.
Uh-huh.
But Dustin Hoffman's great as Captain Hook, though.
Yeah.
You know. Julia Roberts, kind of unexpected performance from her as Tinkerbell. But, you know, it's kind of a less beloved movie in Spielberg's canon, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea, but it's just, man, Robin Williams is so, he's a difficult one to stick with because he really, like, cocaine fueled over the top Robin Williams was a blast, and now serious Robin Williams is good, but Robin Williams being funny is not.
Mm-mm, no. His stand-up comedy I can't even deal with. But you,
not Neil, God, no.
But you know what, though? Occasionally, when he's serious, though, when he's kind of in dark comedies, when he's reined in, like World's Greatest Dad,
yes,
that hits it right. That's the sweet spot. You know?
Anything that he does that feels like they're trying to capitalize on that manic energy feels very fake and very forced and boring.
Yes.
And so I'd rather not.
I'd rather not, sir.
Yes.
Yes. But next, this one I put on here, it's a Western directed by William Wyler. It's got Charlton Heston, Gregory Peck, Burl Ives. It's called The Big Country. I've never seen it, but I was reading up on it. It sounds interesting.
All I know is Gregory Peck. He's just a boy.
Have you ever seen?
And you want to cut it with knives?
Have you seen? Have you seen The Family Guy where the Gregory Peck family goes on vacation?
No.
There's like Gregory Peck and his three sons who look the same, and they're like, he's breathing on the window. Quiet, both of you, or I will hit you with my ring hand.
Just a burn.
Have you ever seen the movie Other People's Money?
Yes. Oh, I've seen part of it.
It's so funny because it's a movie that casts Gregory Peck as the, you know, the character Gregory Peck is known for. You know, it's kind of an Atticus Finch type, fighting for the little guy. And Danny DeVito is the heartless capitalist.
Nice.
But Danny DeVito's character is the main character, and he wins at the end.
Oh, nice.
And he totally puts Gregory Peck gives his speech about how we need to save this company and these people's jobs and blah, blah, blah. And Danny DeVito gives this speech about, yeah, that's great, but it's all also bullshit, and here's why. And lays it out and just totally defeats him and crushes him.
That's awesome.
You know, I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, cute idea.
What a brilliant concept, though. Cast Gregory Peck in that part, and then just totally, like, smash the audience's expectations.
Yeah, yank the rug out from under Gregory Peck, and you feel a little bad. Like, oh, man, that's fucking Gregory Peck. Yeah. What the shit, son? What the shit?
Mm-hmm.
Good times, though.
Good times.
Fucking Gregory Peck.
But so, The Big Country on Blu-ray. I'll probably check that one out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Next one's a new release. This one's a...
Well, they're all fucking new releases.
Well, I mean, this one's a new movie.
I'm kidding.
This...
I know, I mess it. I'm fucking...
Okay, okay. This one's coming to DVD Blu-ray for the first time. It's Joel Schumacher's newest movie, Trespass with Nicolas Cage and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that. Was one of the... That's another one of those. You look at the poster, you're like, I am good.
Yeah. It's like a home invasion movie or something. But, yeah, I don't know. Joel Schumacher is kind of hit and miss, you know?
That's a nice way of putting
it. More miss than hit.
Oh, he misses a hell... here's one thing I'll give Schumacher. He swings big.
Oh, yeah.
He is not strikeout looking. He delivers just... He's shooting for the fence on everything. So when he fails,
fails. My goodness. But, you know, he's made some movies I love, like, you know, Lost Boys, Fallen Down, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, but he also can be way out there. This one looks a little more reined in than some other stuff he's done lately.
Well, this is good to know.
But the next movie is a favorite of mine. This is one of Stallone's kind of underrated performances, though it was
really good.
But it was heralded as like a comeback for him at the time because he'd been doing shitty movies like Daylight and Judge Dredd and stuff. And he came back with this movie that comes to Blu-ray, Copland.
James Mangold, good movie.
Love this flick. Stallone kills it. You've also got Harvey Keitel. Is De Niro in this?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, Robert.
You blew it!
And Ray Liotta is in it, and Michael Rapaport.
That's cool.
Good fucking movie.
Nice. Good
so,
deal, man.
If you haven't seen Copland, go check that shit out, because it's awesome.
You really need to.
Yeah. Next up, another classic coming to Blu-ray. We've got the old silent Lon Chaney Phantom of the Opera flick.
I haven't seen it. It's mildly curious about it.
You
but
should.
Not, I'll probably see it at some
it's,
point.
It's really good. You know, I wasn't in any hurry to see it when I saw it for the first time. And when I finally did, I was glad I did. It's good. And the Technicolor, there's a color sequence in it, which was rare for at the time because it was so expensive.
At the time, yeah.
But there's a color sequence that is just spectacular.
Well, that's cool. I did not know that. That might be worth the check out.
Yeah,
then.
And but you know, Lon Chaney's makeup is amazing.
Yeah, rather legendary there.
Yep. I mean, I hate the cover of this Blu-ray because it's just his. It's an iconic image, but it's just his grinning phantom face.
Yeah.
But I like the old poster where he's like got the mask of the Red Death kind of garb, or where he's hiding it and
right.
he's kind of in shadows, you know. But yeah, Phantom of the Opera is old silent classic, one of the early Universal horror films.
Well, that's cool. Yeah.
And so this was kind of a prototype for what was to come with Dracula and the Mummy and the Wolfman and all that stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Have you seen this next one?
Which one? Let me see. Yeah, you bet your ass. I saw it in the theater when it was brand new. Quigley Down Under is the bomb.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's so good.
Really?
It is. It has one of the coolest endings too.
Really?
It has one of those, like, you know, gunfight. It's a Western set in Australia, and so it ends, of course, with the gunfight. It's because basically it's kind of a horrible idea at first, but Selleck plays a sharpshooter, like really this crack shot guy in the West who gets hired basically by Alan Rickman to come and kill all the Aboriginals that are getting in the way of what he's trying to do.
Oh.
And he kind of has a change of heart.
Of course.
Which leads to this fantastic, like, really cool sort of moment at the very end that I absolutely love. And it's on Netflix Instant, so even if you don't buy it, you can see it.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
And I love Tom Selleck's mustache.
You know, yeah, how do you not? You're only human.
I know.
It's Tom fucking Selleck, bro.
Hey, that kind of looks like Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck.
Yes,
it's great shit.
Almost was Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
There are like several movies he turned down that Harrison Ford got the role in.
Right.
I can't remember what the other ones were. One of them might have been Witness. I'm not sure. But
God, it's one of those weird situations with turning things down because you can never tell what's going to explode.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, in Indiana Jones, he was going to do it,
uh-huh.
But Magnum P.I. got picked up. And
right, right.
His obligation was to that. You know?
Uh-huh.
So.
Uh-huh.
But have you seen the screen tests with him as Indiana Jones?
I've seen a little bit of them.
It wouldn't have been the same.
Yeah.
But
I don't think it would have been bad.
Of course, it would have still been good. But yeah. Harrison Ford just, you know, he made that role iconic, you know.
Yeah.
It's just we would have imagined Indy with a big old porn stash.
Fucking badass Selleck stash, man. Don't badmouth the stash.
Oh, dude, I'm not badmouthing it, man. This is unironic love.
Okay,
and
I was going to say.
And you know, it's just Indiana Jones would have been porny as hell in a good way.
Yeah.
But so, Quigley Down Under. I'm going to check this one out.
Good.
And yeah. I really like this next one. This is our last one.
Ah, yeah.
But
Confessions
of a Dangerous Mind. George Clooney's adaptation of Chuck Barris's memoir.
Which, it's what's so funny about it is how there's like, it might be true, but probably it's not.
But
who knows?
But who cares, because it's a good fucking story, right?
Yeah, you know? It's a cool story. Like that idea of, yeah, Chuck Barris, he's a CIA assassin. What?
Yeah, the dating game was just...
Uh-huh. Well, no, that was so great. Because I would never do that. I would not ever do that to you. And she picks him over Brad Pitt and Matt Damon. Yeah. That was so
fantastic. That was brilliant. Oh, my gosh.
And just the nerdiest guy ever. Why doesn't she like me, Chuck? You said she was going to like me. Why?
And does that guy turn out to be a spy, too?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Uh-huh.
And Julia Roberts. Another weird Julia Roberts performance. Pretty much the whole Ocean cast is in this.
Yeah, yeah. Clooney worked it well. I mean, it's a good flick, and it's just quirky. And for those who don't know, Chuck Barris, who created The Gong Show and The Dating Game and The Newlywed Game, claims that the whole time he was doing that, he was in the employ of the Central Intelligence Agency as an assassin. And that's not like some, oh, this is a funny joke. He is serious.
Yeah, he is not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
When he says that. And
whether or not it happens, who knows? But he is...
But this movie stars Sam Rockwell in a great performance.
Yeah, Rockwell is phenomenal in it.
Clooney shows up as a spy character.
Drew Barrymore was surprisingly
good. Oh, yeah,
good.
She's in that, yeah.
Yeah.
And Charlie Kaufman wrote the script.
Yep.
So you have a delicious pedigree of talent
behind
this flick. Speaking of the dating game, though, do you know who Rodney Alcala is?
Oh, the serial killer who was on the dating game? Yeah.
In the middle of a murder-rape spree.
Yeah, he was already a convicted rapist.
He was, and they let him on this dating game. But but while he was on the dating game, though, he was in the middle of his spree of rapes and murders. And, oh my gosh, it's just that chick on there. You're thinking,
tell me she's still alive. How,
yeah, it turns out she thought he was creepy and didn't pursue it. But how close she came to becoming his fucking lunch, you know?
Yeah.
It's so scary.
And what was creepy about it was he said that what he did for a living, he was a photographer.
Yeah,
and that was what he used. That was like his bit that he would use to get women into his lair for murdering.
And being in L.A., too, that's easy to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and they were able to, like, they can't really pin down the number of people he killed.
No.
Because he has so many of these pictures. It's like these could be... I mean, they're thinking his numbers could be up into the hundreds.
Yeah, I mean,
over 100,
and some of them are children.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
guy, and when you look at pictures of him, he looks like just some like hippie guy,
and some fucking cheesy.
Yeah. Oh, and on the dating game though, he looks like a porn star.
Oh, he really does. You know? Yeah.
Everybody on that show looked like a porn star, though.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But it's fascinating shit that comes out there, you know. Yeah. Fascinating stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's just, could you imagine what that woman felt when she found out
oh
about
my God.
That? Like, what?
It's like that feeling when you narrowly escape a car wreck or something.
Yes, uh-huh, you just...
That, oh, like just how close you came to getting killed.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Creepy as shit.
But, like, because, you know, I was reading about, like, Rodney Alcala, like, when he would kill people, he'd strangle them until they'd pass out, and then he'd wait for them to wake up, and then strangle them until they passed out again, and just keep doing it until they died. That it's not like he killed them quickly. He tortured them.
Yeah, that's... God, that's messed up.
And this guy was on the dating game.
Yep.
If you look it up, look up Rodney Alcala, the dating game. He was also called the dating game killer. You can find it on YouTube, and it's super creepy.
Mm-hmm.
You get douche chills looking at it. So, yeah.
Man, just crazy.
On that note...
yeah.
That's the releases for this week.
Yeah, that interesting collection. Some that I like, and not as bad as a lot have been in the recent past, but... Just not, like, there hasn't been a spectacular one.
No.
You know how every once in a while you'll get that week where it's like, I remember there was one day back in, like, 2000, no, it would have been 2000, I think, coming up around my birthday, where, like, North by Northwest, Terminator 2, Boogie Nights, all came out on the same day. It's like, that's awesome. And, you know, who knows, maybe there will be another one of those before too long, but...
So
we'll just have to keep plugging through.
What's your pick of the week, Jim? Do you have one?
I'm torn between Quigley and Copland.
I'm going with Copland. I'll
go with Quigley.
Yeah. So yours Quigley, mine's Copland. Although Phantom of the Opera gets a special honorary mention for me.
Yeah, it should.
Mm-hmm.
It should. It's good stuff.
And but you know, if you got, especially if you got little ones, give Cars 2 a whirl. Don't let the bad map buzz keep you away from it.
Don't be a prick about it.
Yeah. Well, all right, everybody. I think that's going to be it for this week. Got anything else, Jim?
Not really.
Not really? You don't see anything else you want to talk about?
Nah, not that I can think of.
All righty. Well, that's it for this week. I'm Hunter Deusing. And
I'm Jim Dirks.
All right, go watch some movies.
I think that you're wild. kept it going till the sun fell down. You kept it going.